You're listening to the Weed Smart Podcast, where each fortnight we chat about dealing with those pesky weeds. Welcome to the Weed Smart Podcast. This is actually the last podcast of 2020, and we've got a really interesting one to end the year on. Today on the podcast, we're going to be doing a deep dive on spot spraying technology. So Bilberry CEO Guillaume Jourdain is going to give us an update on their green-on-green technology. And we'll also be hearing from WA farmer Andrew Messina, who was part of their trials that they ran this year, and he's going to share his experience with the new technology too. But my co-host, Pete Newman, does join me. How are you going, Pete?
Very well, Jess. How are you?
I'm good, and we've had a really big year. Lots of things have happened for Weed Smart. We've got a new website. The podcast has gone really well. Lots of great case studies and articles that our content producer has put together. So we're really excited to end the year on such a positive note, aren't we, Pete?
We are, Jess. Hasn't been a great year for a lot of people, but it has been a good year for Weed Smart. We've expanded, if anything, and more brand recognition, good funding, great team. Yeah, it's Weed Smart's going very well despite COVID-19. Even maybe because of it.
Yes, we had the regional update podcast that went really well, and that was as a result of COVID-19, and we ran quite a few extra webinar series as well, which were really well received. So, yeah, big thank you to the Weed Smart tribe. We've really built a really nice community nationwide of people who are really engaged with Weed Smart, and that really makes it such a valuable resource as well. And as we grow bigger, it's really nice to be able to welcome new people on the mission of the Weed Smart messages around the Big Six. And so, yeah, we're really excited. And there's news for 2021. We'll be excited to share a few developments with you early next year. But Pete, we are going to get into this podcast today. But before we do, we always have a little bit of a chat about how our week's been. Obviously, being the last podcast for the year, people will be wondering what's the plans over the Christmas period, but we were having a bit of a discussion just before hitting record, and we've not got very exciting plans, do we, Pete? But we're having a little bit of a chuckle around the competition around having a good gardener working in the ag space, Pete.
Yeah, well, Jess, every Christmas I just feel that little bit of added pressure to have a good lawn. And this year is no different. And if you've got any sort of agronomy background at all, people expect you to have a very good lawn. And if you don't, they just love sticking the boots in. And I'm just happy to say right now, my lawn is not great.
It's not happening for
I've had a struggle. It's been a struggle for years. I mean, it looks okay at the moment, but geez, it's maybe I just need to say I'm an agronomist. I'm not a greenkeeper. And that's where we leave it. But no, I'm feeling the pressure of Christmas, Jess. How about yourself with in your end of the...
Well, yeah, I'm not an agronomist, but obviously my friends and family know that I work in this agricultural space. And there is that assumption that, you know, you must know what you're doing. You're working alongside all these researchers and agronomists who know about these things. Surely your grass and your garden is going to be amazing. And this year I finally have really put in some extra effort. And I must say, Pete, I've gone leaps and bounds. My lawn is looking far better than it ever has before. And so my Christmas period, my break, I'm going to focus. So the front is looking pretty good, and over the Christmas period I'm going to work on my backyard, so it's pretty exciting all around.
Well, that's great. I'll try and match you on that, Jess, but yeah, no big promises. I might even need to get some professional help, I think.
Yeah, well, look, no judgment from me, Pete, but now that we've highlighted what exciting Christmas breaks we're going to have for everyone, let's get into the podcast. We're going to be hearing first from Bilberry CEO Guillaume Jourdain, and this is really exciting, Pete. You were able to see some of the trial work that Bilberry has been doing this year in person. Can you just tell us a little bit about this technology from your perspective and why it's an exciting development?
Oh, it's huge, isn't it, Jess? Green on green spraying technology. We've heard bits and pieces of it for years. All of a sudden, these three young French guys turn up. A few years ago, they openly admit they didn't know much about agriculture. Mm. Now they've brought green on green technology to Australia. They've moved here. They've moved to Western Australia, and they must be patting themselves on the back for that, I'd have to say. It's one of the great places to be during this pandemic. And they've delivered, Jess. They are going great guns. Hats off to Bilberry. You'll hear in the interview in a minute from Guillaume how they're going. I think that they'd be super excited about how far they've got so far and where this technology's heading.
Yeah, it's an amazing story and so exciting for growers in Australia, but internationally as well. So let's take a listen and we'll have a bit of a chat after. Bilberry have been working hard on trial work for their green-on-green spot spray technology this year, and we're excited to have their CEO, Guillaume Jourdain, join us to fill us in on how it's going. Now, Guillaume does join me in person today, which is lovely, as he's based in Perth at the moment. Can you tell us what you've been up to firstly, Guillaume?
Yeah, so first, thanks for having me on the show. That's really nice. So, I've been living in Australia for a year, focusing on the Australian market, so very busy. Working on the green on brown and green on green technology.
Yeah, and we were just chatting before. You've just had the opportunity to go over to Queensland. It's been a tricky year with COVID, but you've done some stuff over there. How did that all go?
Yeah, no, that's good that we can travel again. I think it's been almost a year that we're stuck here, so probably a good place to be stuck, but still difficult without traveling. Yeah, so we went to Queensland to work on the green on brown technology, especially at nighttime. Because that's a must have for growers in the east, being able to spot spray at night. So we are working on that, and so it will be fully commercial very soon, also at night. So lots of busy work over there.
Yeah, very exciting. Now, we have had you on the podcast before, but before we get too deep into what we're going to chat about today, which will primarily focus on that green on green tech, can you just give us a bit of an overview of what you do at Bilberry?
Yeah, so at Bilberry, we develop smart camera technology to spot spray weeds. So basically, it's cameras that you put on the booms of a sprayer. You put one camera every 3 meter on the boom, they look forward, and in real time, they will recognize, if that's a weed or not a weed. That can be done in a what we call green on brown situation, which is basically summer spraying, or it can be done also green on green. So for instance, to target your radish in wheat. We'll talk about that later on. So the cameras detect the weeds in real time and then send the information to the nozzles to trigger nozzles individually so that you can just spot spray on the weeds and not spray everywhere like it's done most of the time today.
Yeah, it's a really exciting bit of technology and, I can really see the excitement spreading across the country and internationally as well in this area. So you have been working really hard on bringing green on green spot spray technology to market. Can you tell us how this technology works? Because it seems complicated.
Yeah, so there was a bit of work. I think we started working on that more than 5 years ago. So the initial idea was to try to use the tech that's used for autonomous vehicles, because there's a lot of research in that, lots of investment. So we are trying to apply all that to agriculture. So basically the heart of the technology is artificial intelligence. That's how the cameras will recognize the weeds. The way artificial intelligence works is that basically it needs lots of data. So you need to capture images. So basically you've got to have cameras that run in the field and gather images in lots of different situations for a very long time. Once you've got these images, you've got to label them. Labeling means painting. So on each image, you've got to paint every pixel, what's the weed, what's not a weed. That's very long, very time consuming. At the very beginning of Bilberry, I was doing that work. Now I can do focus on other things, but we've got people that help us do it. And that's a very important part of making the algorithms right. Once you've got that, then you've got to train what it's called training the algorithms. And training is basically showing the images, the labeled images to the algorithm so that it can learn the patterns. So you've got to show the images millions of times. And then based on that, it will learn patterns, for instance, with the color or the shape, so that it can make the difference between the weeds and the crops. So that's the basis or the base technology that we work with.
Wonderfully explained, Guillaume. That does make a lot of sense. But yeah, very time consuming, like you said, 5 years in the making so far. So you've actually been doing trials on this green on green system. What results have you gathered so far?
Yeah, so we are testing extensively. That's one part that's absolutely key to make sure that we can reach the desired result for the growers. So we spend a lot of time just in field testing. That's one of the reasons we open up a branch in Australia so that we can be close to the paddocks and just go there and test. This year, during the growing season, we've tested on more than 10,000 hectares the technology. So when we talk about testing, it's like a real commercial spraying and then assessing the results. We are now doing the same job in Europe. right now it's it's the end of the first batch of spring in Europe, and then there will be more in March, April. So again, lots of extensive trials. So what we are trialing, or the data that we are looking for when we are making trials, is to understand how many weeds do we hit, how many weeds do we kill, because, you know, it's not because you hit the weed that you kill it, and also, you know, how much chemical you save. So that's the basic things that we assess during the trials. What we've seen, for instance, for the green on green technology for the detection of broadleaf weeds in cereals, so for instance, radish in wheat, is that the hit rate is consistently around 90%. So we hit about 90% of the weeds. The kill rate is between 80 and 85%, depending on some parameters. One thing that we are looking for to increase that is probably just to increase a bit the rate of the chemical. And the average savings is above 90%. So savings are quite big when working with that in Australia.
Yeah, that's really impressive numbers. And yeah, I'm sure growers are listening and they're very excited by the cost savings and the efficiency of the system, of the results that you've got so far. And so can you tell us a little bit about what weeds you're currently detecting in crops and if there's any others you're going to be adding to your system?
Yes, so we are trying to look at, you know, what's the normal or classic farming operation in Australia, and try to see to prioritize algorithms based on that. So the key crop is usually wheat or wheat and barley. For algorithms, it's the same. And so that's the first one we focus on. We've got an algorithm to detect broadleaf weeds in cereals. That one we consider commercially ready in Australia. So we'll launch it very, very soon. So before the end of the year. So that's basically now. Then for other algorithms, we will be working on detecting grass weeds in cereals. We know that's a big one. That's a tough one also. But we are looking into that, and we'll make trials next year. Then canola is an important one. It's usually a very important rotation crop. And then we are looking at crops that are a bit more specific to different areas. So for instance, chickpeas, there are quite a bit in Queensland or New South Wales. That's very interesting. We've got some images. We made some first trial last year and we'll keep working on that next year. We've got some images of lentils. That's a big thing in South Australia. So vetching lentils, we'll be looking after that. In WA, lots of people ask about blue lupins and lupin. That's also something we'll be looking into next year. So main focus, making sure the broadleaf weeds in cereal application is working right, and then keep working on new application next year.
Okay, that's great to hear, and that makes a lot of sense. So we did touch on the fact that there's cost savings in this system. How much can farmers save on their herbicide bill using this technology?
So I think that's a tricky question in the sense that, you know, it really depends on each farm. So the cameras will spot spray on the weed. So it depends on the weed infestation that you have. It depends on the herbicide that you use, because the more expensive the herbicide, the bigger the saving. And also the way we see the technology is as saving. Savings is a big benefit of the technology. But I think the key thing when talking about spraying and spraying weeds is, how well will I kill my weeds? And we think actually the cameras are a great tool to improve the kill rate and get a better control of your weeds over time. Because, you know, since you make big savings, you can probably spray one more time and use different chemicals, different modes of actions, higher rates. So what we are seeing right now with the users is that they actually don't put all the savings kind of, you know, in their pocket, but they reinvest quite a bit, because they say, okay, now I've got a tool to be able to do a better work at controlling my weeds. So that's, I think, the two benefits that should be seen together.
And so how much does it cost for the hardware?
So the cost will be released by our partners. So the way we work right now is we work with sprayer manufacturer partners. So we've got two partners in Australia. We've got Agrifac, a Dutch company, and Gold Acres, so are built down the road, I think. So just an Australian company. So we supply them with the cameras, and then they are factory fitted in their factories. And so the integration is, you know, done very properly like that. They are the one that are selling the cameras. So the pricing is, you know, defined by them. But what I can tell you about the pricing, to give a bit of an idea of where we are, for the green on brown, part of the technology, we are in the same range of price as, you know, existing companies on the market like Witsika or Widit. We provide on the green on brown part of technology that's, you know, a service that's quite similar. Then for the green on green application, we are working on a subscription model per year. But yeah, there will be some information soon out there with AgriFac and Gold Acres.
Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled and all the information should be coming out shortly, it sounds like, at Guillaume. And so are you looking to add the bilberry system to any other makes of broom spray? Can you go into a bit of detail of how that's going to work in the future?
Yeah, so that's something that's interesting. And of course, in the future, we'll be looking into that. But short term, we've got great partnership with both Gold Acres and AgriFac, and we want to focus first on them, making sure it's working very well with them. Their customers are really happy. So that would be the first focus. So I would say short term, let's say 2021, we want to focus with them, not try to work with everyone and do everything. Make our existing customers, users happy, and then start working with more. So I think two steps.
Very sensible strategy. And you've sort of alluded to the fact that this is a tricky technology to bring to market. What were some of the major challenges you've experienced along the way?
So that's that's a tough one. I can think about many things. But, I think it's more on the company side, you know, that has been a challenge. On the technology side, there are lots of things. But the biggest challenges are probably just building a company. So we are three friends that founded the company. About 5 years ago, we were just in college when we started. And so we are just learning every day, you know, how it's working, just growing the company. Now we've got quite a few people working with us. So we've got, you know, to understand, you know, just what is management, what is growing a company, what is hiring people, what is company culture. So I think probably it's all these, you know, are bigger challenges than just the tech. You know, we've got a tech background, and so that's not easy, but we know how to deal with it. Yeah. But, you know, all the people part, growing the company. Now we've got one, the main company is still in France, but we've got here the office in Perth, which is great, but also quite challenging, especially with COVID, because we were supposed to travel quite a bit to still see the team and everything. And now we can just Zoom, which is not the most convenient, especially we had a few new people. Then, you know, to greet them into the company, that's a bit of a challenge. So, yeah, I would say that more than the tech, it's, the whole journey that's been more challenging, but that's great.
Yeah, it sounds like there's been lots of learnings along the way, but it seems to be all going really well. And we're very excited for all this tech coming to market. So you've kind of touched on, we talked about the economic benefits already slightly about spraying herbicides using this system. Do you have anything further to add of some of the benefits of using the technology that Bilberry is putting out?
So one point that we will be looking at, we haven't made trials yet, but that's something we'll do next year, is to understand the impact of not spraying on the crop. There's a belief that we will reduce crop damage because some herbicides are quite aggressive on the crop. And so we want to understand, you know, will there be any impact on the yield, positive impact by not spraying? So that's a big question for us right now, but that could be a very important benefit in the future if that proves right. Then one advantage of spot spraying is that you spray less, and so you don't have to refill as much, so you save some time. So that's, you know, side benefits, but that's still quite convenient when you spend the whole day in the sprayer.
Yes, definitely. That all sounds very interesting. And yeah, we look forward to hearing more about it. So you mentioned that some of the technology is going to be commercially available very soon, pretty much now. Can you let people know how best they keep in the loop with when Bilberry Tech is going to be coming to market?
Yep. So the green on brown part of the technology is already available. The green on green is coming right now. So you've got probably three ways right now to get in touch with us. Either get in contact with AgriFac dealers, Gold Acres dealers. That's the two first options. And then the last one, you know, if you want just an overview of how we are working, best is just to get in touch with us. You know, that's one of the reasons why we are in Australia, to be able to talk directly to growers. So I'm more than happy to be able to talk directly with anyone that's interested. And now probably travel, you know, if the borders stay open, which I don't know, but, touch wood. So, definitely keen to, you know, have a catch up over the phone or if we can, travel a bit.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being so candid today in this interview. It's very exciting technology and we really appreciate you taking the time to explain it all. Thanks, Guillaume.
Thanks for the time and looking forward to have the technology released.
Thank you so much to Guillaume Jourdain, Bilberry CEO there. Very candid interview and really interesting to not only hear about the technology itself, but the evolution of their company and some of the challenges they've had along the way, Pete. But what was really exciting, obviously, for our listeners is those kill rates they're getting. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what makes that exciting, Pete?
Yeah, well, they're getting up to that 90% recognition and spraying of wild radish in wheat, which is a really great start, isn't it? I mean, it's not the sort of 97, 99% you'd expect from a blanket herbicide, but it's a really good start. And I think for growers with low wild radish seed banks, it's enough. And if it saves enough money and enough herbicide, that is a really, really solid start. So I think it's really exciting that they've managed to get in their first real commercial year up to 90% kill, because there's going to be upside from there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And up next, we'll be hearing from Andrew Messina, who was part of the trials that they ran this year, and you got to go up there and have a look. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with that, Pete?
Yeah, just I went and sat on the header with Andrew this harvest, and I came back absolutely pumped, to be honest, on a number of levels. They're, you know, very exciting farmers and doing it really well. And I won't sort of go into the details of the yield and so on, but the harvester I was sitting in had an HSD on the back. It was a case harvester with all the automated harvester settings. That was amazing. The yield of the crop was huge for the rainfall that they've had, so I won't mention the yield, but it was exceptional. So all of the farming system is working, all their mobile ploughing, lime, deep ripping, you know, and then all the other agronomy that goes with it. And they've been doing harvest weed seed control for a good 20 years, and their wild radish seed bank is really low, and the paddock had been sprayed with the See and Spray, and there was no radish to be seen. I mean, there was the odd one that Andrew was mapping along the way. Every time he saw one, he'd hit the button and map it. As you can hear, it's exciting stuff. Yeah. I came back really pumped that all this technology is coming together and just delivering great value to the farmer.
Yeah, a real showcase of the big six principles at the Messina family farm. And Andrew goes into really great detail about the trial work that he did alongside Bilberry. So let's take a listen to that and we'll have a chat after. The Messina family farms around 14,500 hectares on the Eridu Sandplain east of Geraldton in Western Australia's north. And this year they've been hosting trials for Bilberry's spot spraying technology. Andrew Messina joins us on the podcast to give us a bit more of an overview of how it's gone. Andrew, how are you?
Oh, great. Thanks, Jess. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for joining me on the last podcast of 2020. Really appreciate it. Now, I gave a very brief overview there of your farm, but can you just give us a little bit more detail about your farming operation, where you're based and what you do?
Sure, yeah. So we actually are based just east of Mullawar. Sorry, west of Mullawar is our sort of home base at Snindawar. And I guess the land sort of spreads westward and southward, chasing some more rainfall, I guess, and spreading the risk. So, yeah, like I said, we're now sort of pretty much continuous cropping.
Yep.
But obviously we do use fallow back at the Muller end of the farm, if obviously we don't get a lot of summer rain. And so the crops we grow, majority is wheat, canola and lupins are the three main crops we grow in rotation. And, yeah, I guess we've been sort of harvest weed seed management for 20 odd years, so we've got our numbers down really quite low, and we've been waiting for this type of technology to use in crop, and it's great.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Now, you have been involved in the trial work for Bilberry's spot spraying technology, as we mentioned in the intro there. How did this come about?
Well, last year they released their green on brown technology down south, and we went down and saw that release, and we're very impressed with the accuracy of the cameras and how well they actually can pick up quite small weeds, albeit the trial that we saw was only at sort of 10 kilometres an hour, so we could walk behind it, but you know, it picked up a two-leaf ryegrass in a stubble paddock, and really, that pretty much convinced me and myself and my brother that, you know, this technology is really close and worth pursuing. And I guess it really just came down to, you know, obviously to buy the sprayer, the AgriTrack, to put the cameras on and to be sort of really comfortable with making that big investment at such an early stage.
Yeah.
But it was sort of seemed an opportune time, you know, to get to trial it and to be, not to be the first to trial it, but actually trial it in our conditions.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And so how did the trials go at your farm?
Yeah, so they're very, really quite specific. So we basically started spraying with the cameras mid-June, and we pretty much used the cameras all winter. And over, yes, it was about 7,000 hectares of our sand plain country that only got used with the cameras, so we didn't go over with the other broad blanket sprayer at all. And that was really to test them in a big broad acre sense. But also, whilst that was going on, Bilberry were doing small trials to validate and to update the algorithms as we're going along fortnightly. So we were getting updated algorithms as the growing season carried on to make it more accurate. And yeah, that sort of worked very well, and sort of Pete Norris was here to validate those counts, kill rate, hit rate, and all those types of things. So we have got some really solid numbers as well.
Yeah, very cool. And what weeds were you targeting in what crops? Can you give us some detail on that?
So it was basically radish and wheat. We did also do white lupins in the wheat because they were self-sown from lupin crop the previous year. So really that was towards the end of, you know, into the spring a little bit, because basically how the technology works, the cameras have to get the images and then be taught to recognise what's what. Mm. And the lupins was hitting about 50% of them, and then as the next algorithm came along, it got better. So once they've got the images of a certain weed, then the algorithm gets built around that. So that's sort of as the year progressed. We added the lupins, blue and white lupin, in the wheat phases to detect them, of which it sort of got about 50% of them. But majority is the radish, because obviously radish, with all the new products, is the most expensive post-chemical spray. So we could see that would be the biggest value in the cameras. So we were very, very fortunate to be able to use that this year.
Yeah, and that would have been cool to see the accuracy improve in real time. That's very, very cool to experience. And you did mention that your radish numbers are really low. Can we just circle back? How did you achieve this really low seed bank in the first place?
It's been probably a 10-year program in... So we've always windrow burnt paddocks, and then 2012 started moldboarding. So we moldboarded our sand, of which reduced the weed numbers really low. Every weed pretty much were reduced from the moldboard ploughing. And once we started moldboard ploughing, obviously we wanted to spread more chaff back onto that country. It was very, very bare. Mm. So we actually moved into chaff carts. 2012, and then since then we're pretty much just always on top of the weeds and trying to get keep the numbers down and hold them down. So there's certain areas, and sure, we do have still quite bad patches of radish, of which we still broad blanket, but generally just finishing harvest and going over the paddocks that the cameras were on, very, very impressed with the little amount that sort of got through, but they were very stunted, so they actually were still hit. It probably just wasn't the lethal dose.
Yep.
You know, and that potentially could be from just nozzle setup. We're just still sort of playing around with that. But yeah, it was extremely exciting.
Yeah, very cool. So were you able to discern a saving on your herbicide bill using this technology from the trial?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty plain as day, really. And obviously, if you're saving, you know, the $30 a hectare, you know, the sort of those products that are using your Velocity Precept, those more expensive products, yeah, oh, literally the post-spraying cost was probably 80% saved, 80% of the cost, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got depreciation on the new sprayer, so you have to take that into consideration as well. Obviously, the investment in that, and yeah, and I think, look, it's got a little way to go, but we're very, very impressed with where it can head and the opportunities it'll bring once, I guess, the cameras recognise more weeds in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And so just to get an estimate of the percentage of wild radish in wheat control, could you give us an estimate of the percentage controlled of the wild radish?
So, yeah, pretty much in the trial data that Pete Norris is validating, it was anywhere from, I guess, the worst trial we had was 76%, and the best was up at, you know, 88 to low 90%. So that's hit rate, and then the kill rate was slightly below that in each of those circumstances. But in saying that, even now at harvest, we think those rates have got, it just took longer than the 28-day period that they were getting assessed, I think. So they ended up dying anyway, or ended up becoming such a small plant, we could not see them at harvest. So
great.
It's a bit of a rubbery number.
Yeah.
But it's actually, the results became better as time went on, if you know what I mean, simply because at harvest, we did not see big radish plants with a lot of pod on them. There was hardly any of them at all.
Oh, that's really good.
That really was our main telltale that we had to wait, try and validate, you know, the numbers that we sort of thought we had.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's exciting. And so overall, what are the key benefits you saw from the trial? What would you say to other growers who might be considering this technology in the future? What were the benefits that really stood out to you of using it?
Oh, I think, you know, the benefits really, it's pretty easy to see. Probably the key thing is, though, you need to be on top of your weeds. This really is using the technology to certainly save broad blanket spraying where you have quite low numbers. So even I guess our worst paddock that we thought was pretty bad, it still ended up spraying 20% of it. So we considered that a lot, but you're still then saving 80% cost on spraying the whole paddock. So, you know, radish is a plant that stands out. So it's really, it looks worse than what they are, your numbers. Mm-hmm. So once you start being really accurate with the targeting, that the percentage is lower than what you would expect. But, oh, look, it's very exciting. It's, you know, one of the best things I've ever seen to be involved in crop. Just another tool that we can just keep refining. And obviously, in future, look, we'd really hope that we'll probably be, you know, looking at other weeds in other crops into the future, of course, next year. So we might be trialling something like that as well. Something, perhaps blue lupin in lupin, in white lupin crop, is probably the next priority, certainly for us and I think for the technology.
Yep.
So that you can then use your system on those two main crops that we sort of grow up here.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what about challenges? Was there anything that was challenging about the system when you were doing the trial?
I think mainly it was weather conditions. So in the morning, say when the sun is rising or the sun is setting and the cameras get a shadow on if they're going a certain direction. So that sort of was a little bit average to start with at those times of the day. And as the algorithms improved, that's become better. So it's certainly not 100% foolproof that the cameras, they literally need to see the weed to hit it.
Yep.
So if you can see it from the cab, it will see it. But if there's a shadow or even perhaps a shadow of the sprayer sometimes and a bit of dust, you know, they sort of would have a sort of a misfire there. So that's sort of a little bit of the inaccuracy or the temperamental sort of side of the system that will only get better with, again, more images and more time that it gets put in that position and, you know, to try and refine that part of it. So, and we could tell spraying certain areas at different times of the day when we'd go back and spray it the second time. You know, our operator was very conscientious in that, would check his notes and say, okay, this was in the middle of the day, or this was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so we could just validate what was going on.
Yeah.
And that was really important to try and nut out what's happening.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds really good and really positive, very exciting. Andrew, thank you so much for giving us an overview of how you went with those trials that you did with Bilberry. We really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap things up?
Oh, no, I think agriculture, once again, is still a very exciting field to be in. And, you know, myself and my brother Rod are just really enjoying, you know, what's coming at us. And I think it's important that, you know, the broad agricultural community is, it's exciting space, and it's a good field to be in. We're still enjoying doing it.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much. Have a great festive season, and really appreciate you taking the time.
No worries. Thanks, Jess. Same to you.
Thank you so much to Andrew Messina there. He was giving us an overview of the trial work that Bilberry ran on the Messina family farm. And Pete, really interesting to hear about the kill rates there, but you wanted to synthesize some of the information that Andrew provided there just around the success of the technology. Can you give us a little bit more information around what they're actually achieving with those kill rates?
Yeah, Jess, and I love the fact the way we call it a trial. It's a 7,000 hectare trial. No mess around in Malawa. Yeah, but to be clear, what they did over that 7,000 hectares was they didn't blanket spray post-emergent at all, and they just used the cameras, but they went over the paddock twice with the cameras. So if you get, my maths tells me, if you get 90% the first time and then 90% the second time, that adds up to 99%, I think.
Mm.
So that gets into the realms of a very effective post-emergent herbicide regime. So sure, you've gone over the paddock twice, but most of our growers do that for wild radish anyway. But yeah, and also the fact that they kept refining that algorithm, I think that's exciting. It got so much better during one season of refining the algorithm. Imagine how good it's going to be after a few seasons, Jess.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, with the uptake and, feeding that information back into the technology. It's really mind-boggling, really, around how great it could get, and it most likely will get. And I also thought it was interesting about how Andrew mentioned, obviously there's parameters around what they measure in trials, but he was saying in that interview as well that the weeds that sort of survived, I guess, he did find that after that trial had officially ended, a lot of those weren't really viable either. And so, the success rate of those weeds being killed is really great. It seems really positive, doesn't it, Pete?
Yeah, that's right. I think what Andrew was saying there was they hit some weeds and they were looking sick, but they were counted as a survivor.
Mm.
And they did that 28 days after application, and then they did eventually die. And we see that particularly with our 2,4-D resistant weeds, Jess, is that they take a long time to die, but often they do eventually die. And so I think the kill rate might even be a little bit of upside compared to what Bilberry and Andrew have reported there.
Yeah, it's really positive. So a big thank you once again to CEO of Bilberry, Guillaume Jourdain. He actually came in and did the interview into UWA, so that was really great. And thanks again as well to Andrew Messina sharing that experience of having Bilberry on the Messina family farm and running those trials. It's really valuable information and such exciting technology. I know that you're very excited about it, Pete, but everyone, I think, in the agricultural space is really excited. It's something that, like you said earlier, it's been talked about over the years, but now it's actually a reality. And the future is bright in this area, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely. Agriculture, as Andrew said, I really love the way he finished that saying. We still love what we're doing, and it's an exciting place. It is, Jess. There's so much going on, and so exciting to see farmers like Rod and Andrew Messina taking this new technology and using it and gaining so much value from it. Yeah, it's fantastic. And hats off to Bilberry too. They've brought some great technology here, and they're having a win.
Definitely. And yeah, last podcast of the year. So a big thank you to not only our guests today, but our guests on the podcast over the whole of 2020. We've had lots of farmers, agronomists, experts, researchers, technological innovators come onto the podcast, and it's made such a great program over the year. We've really enjoyed being able to share your stories, and it's a real community. We've had a really successful year. We've got the new website up, so we'd love for you to check that out over your break and keep in touch with us through our social media pages, Facebook and Twitter. And also make sure that you're signed up for the monthly blog. We are going on a bit of a break over the Christmas period, but we will be back in January. So we'd love for you to be signed up and to the blog so you don't miss out on the new content. And even though things are winding up, we do have a new Ask an Expert that recently got published. So that's with our Northern Extension agronomist, Paul McIntosh. And Paul answers the question, what alternatives are there for desiccation and crop topping? And I'll provide the link to that article in our podcast notes. But Pete, also a big thank you to you for being my co-host for 2020 for the podcast. It has been a really big year, and yeah, lots of challenges with obviously COVID, but we are so grateful to have the Weed Smart community who are so engaged with Weed Smart in sharing the messages and being involved. We managed to get Weed Smart Week in South Australia off the ground. We've had lots of wins, Pete, in quite a difficult year for lots of people, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, and yeah, it's been a tough year for a lot of people, but Weed Smart's gone really well, and maybe that's because of COVID has actually helped us a little bit, yes, I don't know, but yeah, well done you too for keeping the podcast going and growing the number of subscribers and listens that we're getting every week. So yeah, congratulations to you, and Merry Christmas to you, Jess, and to all of our listeners.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone. Have a great, safe break, and we will see you in the new year for more Weed Smart related content, and the podcast will be back in around January. So yeah, keep an eye out for it. Make sure you subscribe and you won't miss out. Until next time, thanks, Pete.
See you next year, Jess.